Baseball fans in the nation's capital are biting their nails. A late-innings dispute is threatening plans to bring the Montreal Expos to Washington under a new name, the Nationals. Washingtonians thought they'd be rooting for the home team next spring. But this week, the D.C. City Council cried foul over the amount of public money earmarked for the Nationals' new stadium. NPR's Tom Goldman joins us now to talk about this latest dispute and the perennial question of how much public money should go into private sports arenas. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Jennifer.
Tom, the D.C. City Councilwoman Linda Kropp objected to this project because it was supposed to be completely financed with public money, and estimates were hitting over $580 million for the project. Was this unique that Washington offered to pay the entire bill for the stadium?
No, it wasn't. There have been other examples of cities offering 100% public financing. Most recently, a couple of NFL stadiums in Cincinnati within the last couple of years, and Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay. And as we say, D.C. is that was the deal they signed. Interestingly, at the other end of the spectrum, you've got stadiums principally financed by private dollars. San Francisco's Pac Bell Park comes to mind. It's been renamed to SBC Park. And even in Washington, D.C., you've got the MCI Center for Basketball and Hockey that was largely financed with private money.
So if these are the extremes in financing, all private, all public, what's the norm?
The norm is usually a public-private split, and that's actually changed over the last 30 years as far as the percentage of what is public and what is private. In the 1970s and 80s, it was close to a 90% public and 10% private. But from the late 80s on, it's been weighted more toward private funds. So the split, it's estimated to be about 30% private and 70% public these days.
And why that shift toward private money?
Well, there was a realization that that these stadiums are not the economic boom they're often promised to be, and also just because cities are in much greater financial stress and they can't often cough up this kind of money. And voters often resent the idea of subsidizing rich sports owners.
So what the D.C. councilwoman offered was, certainly it's caused a lot of controversy, but it does not seem unusual.
No, as a matter of fact, what she's offering actually is less than the current average. You know, I mentioned the split of 30% private, 70% public being the norm. Right now, the way Linda Kropp has structured this amendment that was passed this week, the private funds would be about $140 to $150 million, which is actually about a quarter of the total cost, which is going to be, you know, upwards of $580 million. So that's actually less than what's done by most stadiums.
And how has Major League Baseball reacted?
Not surprisingly, Major League Baseball has been indignant about this. Baseball decided not to unveil the new uniforms for the Nationals, and baseball officials also have halted their negotiations on a compensation package with Baltimore Orioles owner Peter Angelos. You may know that Peter Angelos has been very worried about having a team in Washington when Angelos owns the Baltimore Orioles some 40 miles up the freeway.
And what's really at stake for Major League Baseball here? What were they hoping to reap from this deal?
You know, I get this image of a cat with this big Cheshire grin on its face, because not only did it get a deal to have Washington pay for everything, but Major League Baseball is also in the unique position of selling the team that it currently owns that was destined to come to Washington. That's the Montreal Expos. But if private funds, if funds have to be paid by that new prospective owner, that will influence how much that owner then pays to buy the franchise, which means Major League Baseball would get less money for the sale of the franchise, less money into Major League Baseball's coffers. And this is all about money.
NPR's Tom Goldman, thank you.
You're welcome, Jennifer.